We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Tuesday, Brevard County, Florida, July the 14th, 2015. Sounds like a great day for God to rule and reign, doesn't it? And so thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I pray today that you will grow in your understanding of the word, that you'll be challenged in your faith, and that it will increase. Want to thank you for tuning in. We do consider it an honor and a privilege to bring you the word of God. If you would like to come and partake of the Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432, they will be meeting tonight in our fellowship hall, free video Bible school that will help you to grow in your relationship with God, His Word, His understanding, and equip you for the works of the ministry that God prepared for you to do before the foundation of the world. So come be a part of that, and that meets from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. tonight. Also, we do want to remind you about our back-to-school outreach and blowout service that we're going to be having on August the 2nd. Because of our facilities, we're targeting for the first 50 kids that do show up for church on July the 26th and August the 2nd, that they're going to get a free pair of shoes that will be in their size. They're not going to be Air Jordans or anything like that. I don't even know if they still make Air Jordans or not, but they will be brand new tennis shoes. There's not going to be anything from the secondhand store or anything like that. Brand new pair of shoes for every one of the kids that shows up July the 26th and August the 2nd. The reason for July the 26th is because we need to get names and shoe sizes. That way we know how many boys, how many girls, what sizes we need to get. And then we will be distributing those on August the 2nd. August the 2nd is going to be a great day, a great service. And so we want you to come and be a part of that. We, I like to try and help people with the way that I was helped growing up. And nothing made you feel quite as good as a new outfit and a new pair of shoes whenever you went back to school for that first day. And so we want to try and help make that a reality. We want to take you in the Word of God this morning back to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And going to begin reading in verse number 1 today. It says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his brother. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed, that there we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.' And his brothers said to him, 'Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?' So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. 'Look, I have dreamed another dream, and at this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.' So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So let's look at what's going on here. First of all, it says that Joseph had a special place in Jacob's heart because he had been the son of his old age. And so on yesterday's broadcast, when we talked about God having heard Rachel's prayer, we've got to realize that Jacob was getting on up there pretty seriously in years at that point in time. And Joseph had been born to him, and Jacob made a bad mistake as a parent. And that is this: parents, you do not have favorite children. All of them should be your favorite. All of them should be your favorite. You should not be picking favorites and doting on this one and punishing that one. And I tell you as a pastor that if you employ that strategy, you may be blinded to it and may not perceive it, but your kids will pick up on it. And those who are not the favorite, those who are seeing favor distributed to others and not to them, they will pick up on it and they will resent you for it. And so parenting is hard work. Parenting is even harder work in 2015. And we need the help of God to be able to successfully do it. And so I encourage you, make sure that you are loving your children individually, but loving them with all of your heart. So make sure that you recognize that they are all a gift from God. We don't have our favorites. We love each of ours. We tried to show that, and I demonstrated it by attending concerts. I was never a band person when I was in high school, never was into symphonies or anything like that. But when my kids said, you know, this is the area that I'm excelling in, and they got involved in band and jazz band and symphonic orchestra the symphonic orchestra and all that sort of stuff. Well, because they were my kids, then I got involved and got to participating in those things. You know why? Because they were my kids. Some of my children followed in that path and some went different directions. And so, I've been to plays that I wouldn't have gone to, but I went to them because my daughter was involved with the stage managing aspect. And so I want to encourage you, don't make the mistake of having favorites. And that goes with any of your relationships as well. You know, at church, I am thankful for the people who are involved. I'm thankful for those who give, but the truth of the matter is, God wants to bestow his love upon everybody. Now, as a child of God, I will tell you this. You are God's favorite, just as I am his favorite. And every person who names the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and lives a life according to his word is God's favorite. The Bible says he is no respecter of persons. He does not show any partiality. And so what that means is that if I misbehave, that I am going to experience the same amount of correction that other people are going to experience. And if I have done something merit-worthy or worthy of reward, God is going to make sure that I get rewarded as well. So there are many people who are looking for a special caveat that says, oh God, the Bible says God is love, and because he loves me, he's not going to discipline me or correct me. And actually, the Bible says exactly the opposite. It says that God disciplines those he loves. One time I was having a prayer time, and God reprimanded me about something. And again, I tell people all the time, I say, I don't know how God speaks to you. A lot of people, whenever they say that God has spoken to them, he's patting them on the head and telling them how wonderful they are and all of that. When God speaks to me, he normally speaks to me a challenging word, and he is encouraging me to become more like him. And so I was going through one of those conversations, and God was actually speaking a word of correction to me in my prayer time. And so I began to have this discussion. I don't know if you have conversations like this with God, but this is where I was. And I said, well, God, now just wait a minute here. I have a question. And that is, there are people who are doing a lot worse things than this, and they are not experiencing any ramifications from that. You know, I haven't even done anything. It was just something that I thought in my head for just a moment, and you know, why am I getting in trouble for this? And God's response to me is that really the type of relationship you want with me? Is that really the type of relationship you want? Where I don't correct you and I allow you to continue on in your mistakes until there are major consequences and ramifications, that you ignore my correction and my discipline until it is too late for anything to be done. Is that the type? And I said, no, sir, that is not the type of relationship I want. God, I would rather you speak to me with your still small voice and speak correction to me than to go undisciplined, because I want to be seen as the person you love. And so I just encourage you to ask God to reveal any blind spots that you've got where you may be bestowing favor upon one person or another, because God wants to, he wants us to treat people equitably and fair and just. And so, Joseph was there, and because Jacob loved him, he gave him a garment, a tunic of many colors. And, you know, there's been much made about the coat of many colors and songs written, plays written, and all of that sort of stuff. But I will tell you this, that what Jacob meant for a sign of blessing and a sign of his love and affection, his brothers, because they knew that they were not being treated the same as Joseph was, saw it as something that caused them to hate Joseph even more. When they saw the gift that Joseph received, being the younger, and they were not receiving gifts as the elders, it says in verse number 4, but when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. People's words will eventually disclose what is going on in their heart. And if there is a favored child and an unfavored child, if there's a child that is getting more than the other child is going to get, it is something that is going to manifest in their words. There's a commercial on television about a father and two daughters who are going into a store, and they're going to upgrade the oldest daughter's cell phone. And when they get in there, the sales lady asks, well, what are you going to do with her old phone? And the older sister says, oh, well, we're going to pass it down to my younger sister. She gets all of my hand-me-downs. And when you look over there, you see this angry young lady who is wearing a sweatshirt with the older daughter's name on it. And the sales lady doesn't pick up on that yet, but you can see the resentment in that child's life, because all she is getting is the rejects of life. All she is getting is the hand-me-downs, instead of ever being the one who receives the brand new item. And, you know, we have to guard our hearts. I will tell you this, that just because another person gets blessed does not mean that God's blessing business for the day is closed. So I'm not here to covet your clothes. I'm not here to covet your house or your car or your money. I'm not here to covet those things, because coveting looks at you in a wrong light. Thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments. It is one of those that deals with our relationship with other people. And when we are coveting what another person has, we are not loving that person the way that they should be loved. We are looking at them with disdain and hatred, and it's going to manifest. We are not going to be able to communicate with the love and compassion. We're not even going to be able to speak peaceably to them. If we see them coming, we're going to have to move out of the way because there's something in our heart. Can I tell you that sort of attitude, it was toxin in these brothers' system. Jacob, because he showed favoritism, actually poisoned his own children. And I'm not holding them innocent, because when it comes to a spiritual toxin, somebody may try and put that into my system, but I'm responsible whether or not I keep it there or whether I get it out. When the disciples went and they came to the town where Simon the sorcerer had been very effective, he was saved, he believed, he was baptized, he started following around the disciples, he was a model disciple, and one day they laid hands on people and people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Simon said, I will give you money if you will show me how to do that. And Peter looked and he said, you and your money are going to perish, because I can see that you have no part in this ministry or this body, because your heart is full of bitterness. And Simon said, please pray for me that none of these things happen to me. But Simon, the sorcerer, had a responsibility, and that is, get the poison out of my system. I remember a well-known evangelist, and when he was very young and making quite a name for himself, he was going around, but he was ministering out of his anger. He's talked about that. He shared his testimony about he was ministering out of an angry spirit instead of a compassionate spirit, and he recognized how lethal that was to him. And so he asked God to deliver him from that, and he did, and gave him a completely different personality and mindset and demeanor. Don't allow what has happened with other people to poison you so that you cannot stand to be around them, you can't speak to them, and actually you've developed a hatred for them. People are going to do cruel things to you. I've had my share of cruel things that were done to me. I've also, said my share of cruel things to other people. Don't allow those things to rule and reign and prevent you from walking in the fulfillment of the destiny that you have. So that's where their hatred of Joseph began, but it wasn't where their hatred of Joseph ended. Joseph had the audacity to go to sleep one night, and while he was going to sleep, God began to reveal to him his plan for Joseph's life, and that what was going to take place in the future was that Joseph was going to be elevated to a level of prominence, and he was going to be elevated to a level of prominence above his other brothers, and they would actually bow down to him. Now, when that happens, and that happens to the youngest child and not to the oldest child, that is quite disturbing. But I will take it a step further. You can be surrounded with all sorts of people who are living with no vision or no dream, no purpose in their life other than to just get up and eat and go to bed and get up and do the thing all over again. And when God gives you a vision and a dream that is going to rule your life and is going to set the plan for your life, I tell you that a lot of times people will despise others simply because they have a vision. And the truth of the matter is, God has a vision, a purpose, and a plan for every one of us. And so the brothers responded harshly in verse number 8. They said, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So what began as hatred just because he was daddy's favorite, now they are hating him more because he's had this dream and he's actually believed it enough to speak it out and to proclaim it. And so even when they heard his voice, they began to hate him even more. Verse number 9, then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Look, I've dreamed another dream, and at this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down in the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. And so not only did he have the dream once, but he had the dream a second time. And I will tell you this, God is not a God who changes his mind. When he gives you a vision and he says something is going to come to pass, it doesn't matter whether there's any natural support, whether there's any natural encouragement that comes along and helps support that vision. God is the God who is going to fulfill that vision in your life. It doesn't matter whether there's a visible path to get there yet or not. If you have a vision, I'll just encourage you what it says in Habakkuk. Write it down, make it plain so that people could run with that vision. Write it down, make it plain so that people could run with the vision. And so the brothers hated him because he was the favorite. They hated him because he had a vision for his life, and that vision was going to elevate them above them. And then he had a dream again, and now his brothers are completely envious of him. They're completely jealous of him. And I will tell you this, that if you have a vision for your life, it is a God-given vision. Let me rephrase that. If you have a God-birthed, God-given vision for your life, do not discard it. Do not forget about it. Instead, begin to find people who do not despise you for that vision, but who actually believe with you in that vision and can help make that vision come to pass. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. There was a key moment in Joseph's life where what he did in that particular moment was absolutely essential for this vision to come to fruition in his life and in his ministry. By the way, I will tell you this, that even though his brothers hated him because he was the dad's favorite, even though they hated him because of vision number one and his audacity to speak it out, even though he had a second vision and they envied him because of that, their hatred and their envy and their spiteful acts could not prevent God's vision from coming to pass in Joseph's life. And the vision for Joseph's life is what saved the brother's life. Can I encourage you to do something this week? Pastors may not like me for doing this, but that's okay. If you are attending a Bible preaching church, I want you to go and ask the pastor and say, "Pastor, what is your vision? Because I would like to help make that vision a reality." I rather than being somebody who opposes the vision that God has given you, I want to see the kingdom of God grow in this county. What's your vision and what can I do to help? And instead of hating the vision or being envious of what's going on, how can I help? Isn't that what the body of Christ is all about? Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Aren't you glad Aren't you thankful that Jesus gave himself so that you and I could be saved? Our life has literally been redeemed. And right now there are people who hate the concept of salvation the same way that Joseph's brothers hated him. They hate that he had the audacity to say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. They despise that, but in actuality, Jesus pursued that vision from before the foundation of the world so that all of us could be saved. Our mission at Merit Assembly of God is very simple. We are about restoring values spiritually and relationally. And you know what happens if those two things take place? You are going to find restored value in everything that you have. You are gonna find value. Listen, God values people. We have so many people in our society right now, and they're told they're worthless, that they have no purpose, no value, that they are a cosmic accident, and that's just not the case. I'll share a little bit of a personal story with you. I was very content having two children, and God began to work in my heart. I was literally driving down the road one day. I could take you to the exact spot, and where I heard this story on the radio, and it was a story about a couple, and they had reached their limit as how many kids they wanted, and then they had another child, and so they had taken precautionary measures with one person, and then they took precautionary measures with the second party, and then they had twins. So they ended up with three children that they had not planned on. And when I heard that story on the radio, I said, God, you know, even though I'm content with two, you know, whatever you have for me, God, I just want you to know I will say yes to that. And it wasn't very long after that our youngest child was born, and is just a major blessing to the body of Christ. My wife and I, we were out traveling on my day off here, and stopped in and visited our daughters at work. And one of the coworkers said, you know, I just, and my youngest actually works there more than my oldest does, and says, just want you to know what a blessing your daughters are. And I'm so thankful that God didn't limit his activity in my life to what my plan was. Dream big. God wants to use you to bless other people. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.